Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Live on air, presented by Ger Sweeney.
Now we're just literally testing something brand new, so hopefully it's all going to be work out. Oh, it's all going to work out okay. A million thanks to Howard for the last hour of Spain Today, brought to you as always by Howard from his studio suite in Nerca. I'm going to check and make sure that everything sounds good, and don't go anywhere, please, just for the moment. We seem to be on air, which is great. Good evening and welcome, Howard. Thanks a million. Do have yourself a very pleasant evening, whatever you and Luna happen to be up to this evening. Yes, we're going to monitor the quality of things that are going on because we're testing something new. And it didn't quite work out earlier for Howard, but it hopefully will be all okay for the next 2 hours live on air a Wednesday evening. It is the 19th of April and you're very welcome along. It's good to have your company. I hope you've had a good week since I was talking to you last. Right, what have we got for you this evening on the programme? I think we're trying something a little different in relation to content as well. Let me tell you firstly, in this hour, John Connell is going to join me. John is the co-director of the Granard Booktown Festival. All right, Granard is in County Longford. It's not just a book festival, it's a book town festival. And if you don't know what a book town is, well, I didn't either until I made contact with him. And we'll be telling you what it is in this hour of the programme. All righty, Dennis O'Connor is a fascinating man. And Dennis lives in a place called Mianus, which is very close to Brough, about 20 miles south of Limerick City. And he has a museum at the back of his house. A big, huge shed, that's what you could call it. But it's a museum, and it's called Old Irish Ways. And he has some phenomenal things there. And when I say we're experimenting with something, what I did was I went to the museum last Sunday evening, and I walked with him around the museum, and he told me what things were, and we were conscious that it's radio, and we tried to describe as best we could exactly what was going on. All right. And what the items that we tried to describe, the items that we saw, and we tried to explain as well how they were used. It brought me back to my childhood. It brought me back 50 years, brought me back 54, 55 years to things that I remember from my grandparents' house, and indeed from going to the local shop to do messages for my granny and granddad and things like that. So I hope that you're going to enjoy that. Myself and Dennis O'Connor walking around a fabulous museum called Old Irish Ways. Now, so that's that. And that's in the second hour of the programme. All right. We'll have a bit of music as well. New music and some music you might already be familiar with. But I'm going to start the programme. Usually we start on a lively note, but there's two sudden deaths that have occurred in the past week. And I thought we'd open the programme by just paying tribute to the two people. The first person, I must be honest and say, I wasn't terribly familiar with. A man called Craig Breen. He was a rally driver born in Waterford. What age was he? He was only 31, I think. He last competed part-time for the Hyundai team in the World Rally Championship. And he won the 2012 Super 2000 World Rally Championship, scoring class wins in the Monte Carlo Rally, Wales Rally, the Wales Rally GB, Rally France and Rally of Spain. He won the World Rally Championship Academy Cup in 2011, winning his first event at the 2011 Rally Deutschland and sealing the championship with a win at Wales Rally GB. Breen won the 2021 Rentokil Historic Rally in Killarney, in Kerry, here in Ireland, and his BMW M3 E30. He died last Thursday after an accident during a pre-event test. ahead of the 2023 Croatia rally. Craig Breen was laid to rest yesterday following his funeral mass in Ferrybank in Waterford, and that was attended by many people. It was a huge funeral. Social media has been all over this, and the tributes that have been pouring in for Craig Breen from all over the world, from the motoring and from motorsport. And it's just phenomenal. And I thought we have to give him a mention at the start of the programme. And as we always say, Erieste, Goreva Onam Dilish. The second death I want to mention to you, you are well familiar with this, is the sudden passing of Mark Sheehan, the guitarist with The Script, who died in hospital after a brief illness last Friday. He was 46 years old. He was the co-founder of The Script in Dublin 20 years ago. And in that time, the band sold over 20 million albums. He was a father to three children, spent most of his time in America with his wife, Rena, and family. In May of last year, Sheehan missed the American leg of the band's greatest hits tour to be with his family. The band was scheduled to support, or maybe is still, to support Pink during her European tour later this year. Tributes to Mark were led by President Michael D. Higgins, his fellow Script members, and from across the world of music and entertainment in general. So, we do have to play something. We absolutely do have to play and start the programme with a track from The Script. And indeed, when we think about Mark Sheehan, we say again, let's take a listen to some of the music, the wonderful music that he was responsible for and co-responsible for. The Script, this is Superheroes. Enjoy it.
She has seen all the meaner side of me. They took away the prophet's dream for a prophet on the street. Now she's stronger than you know. A heart of steel starts to grow. All his life he's been told he'll be nothing when he's old. All the kicks and all the blows, he won't ever let it show. Cause he's stronger than you know. Heart of steel starts to grow. When you've been fighting for it all your life, you've been struggling to make things right. That's how a superhero learns to fly. You've been fighting for it all your life, you've been working every day and night. That's how a superhero learns to fly. struggling to make things right. That's how a superhero learns to fly.
That's the script. Take us back a wee while. That's a song called Superheroes, and we play that in memory of the late Mark Sheehan from The Script, who died last Friday unexpectedly. All right, what else have we got? Oh yes, I didn't tell you because I was trying to keep an ear to the test and make sure that everything was working okay, which it is, it appears. Let me give you the contact details to the programme if you'd like to get in contact. Because I'm in Ireland, you can't make a phone call, but you can send a WhatsApp message to our WhatsApp number, which is +34 645 996 7 95, or you can send an email to studio@tre.radio. You can use my own email as well, ger@tre.radio, if you would like to do that. All right, I think what we'll do right now is take a very quick commercial break. I'll make reference when I come back to one of the biggest media stories around at the moment. In fact, Howard made reference to it a little earlier on as well. So please don't go anywhere.
Live on ERA, presented by Ger Sweeney.
TRE Talk Radio Europe.
Live on ERA, presented by Ger Sweeney.
And you're welcome back to the programme. Nice to have your company on this Wednesday evening. It's been a lovely day in Ireland. I know that you're expecting some rain around southern Spain, and I know many people are looking forward to it, but sure, hopefully it won't be too bad anyway. We Irish, we kind of come out in a rash when we hear about rain. So it's always a good day when there's no rain in Ireland. One of the biggest stories on Irish media in recent days is that of Gerry Hutch, or the Monk, as he is known, who was found not guilty of the murder of David Byrne, who was shot dead at the Regency Hotel near Dublin Airport 7 years ago. Now, Hutch was on the run from the Garda Síochána. He was arrested in Fuengirola in August of 2021. I couldn't believe it when I was checking out when he was arrested, because I remember dealing with it very much so at the time on the programme, and I was filling in for somebody around then as well. And anyway, he was arrested in 2021 on foot of a European arrest warrant and later extradited to Ireland to face charges. I thought he had actually stayed in prison in Spain for a number of months, but I think it was only a week or so, and then he was brought back to Ireland. But following the announcement on Monday, the monk Hutch walked free from the Special Criminal Court in Dublin, followed by a posse of media, as you can understand. I saw this morning that he is still in Dublin and has been seen out and about, a brave man, because he has been told by the Gardaí that his life is in danger because of the ongoing feud between his family, the Hutch family, and the Kinahan family, which you've heard quite a lot about as well. And it was interesting to hear Howard mention that the restaurant in Fuengirola, where Gerry Hutch was arrested when he was having dinner with his wife, have said he's welcome to come back and finish his pizza anytime. There has to be somebody with an Irish sense of humour working there. There definitely has. A lovely initiative, actually, which is happening in the very county in which I'm sitting at the moment. Members of the public are being encouraged to be a tourist for a day in County Clare through a new tourism promotion initiative offering free and half-price admission to popular local visitor attractions and sites on this coming Sunday, the 23rd of April. The Tourism Department of Clare County Council, working in partnership with the Clare Tourism Advisory Forum and local tourism attractions, says be a tourist in your own County Clare is aimed at promoting the quality tourism product available in Clare to the domestic market ahead of the peak tourism season. Clare is home to some of Ireland's best known visitor attractions, including the Cliffs of Moher, that fabulous visitor centre experience, Bunratty Castle and Folk Park, Islwee Cave and Burren Experience, Killaloe River Cruises, Doolin Cave, Craigan Owen, Burren Smokehouse and Taste the Atlantic, the Salmon Experience, and the OPW Ennis Friary, all of which feature in the promotion, which is great because they're all fabulous. Councillor Tony O'Brien, who is the Cahirlock chairperson of the Clare County Council, says that the pre-season timing of the promotion is important and it targets local consumers so that they are aware of what's on offer in County Clare. He also said that Clare has a compelling array of adventure activities and remarkable experiences for both locals and visitors to the county to enjoy. And he says, we are looking forward to a busy season in 2023. I hope it will be. He says that he would like to commend the local tourism businesses on embracing this initiative and encourages everyone, particularly families, to take advantage of the half price and free admission offers that are listed on visitclare.ie and to come out and enjoy the best of what he says our county has to offer. Now, visitclare.ie/wow has further details on this promotion, which is called Be a Tourist in Your Own County Clare, and for details of offers available next Sunday. We wish them well with that. Last Sunday wasn't a very pleasant day. It was misty and it was kind of overcast. Myself and the leader of the opposition here at home, we decided it was a kind of one of those days where we were both around the house together. And we said, look, we'll go somewhere and do something. And we got into the car and we headed back to Doolin and into O'Connor's and had some beautiful seafood chowder. Oh, it was smashing. And took a little ramble up to the pier then after that. And then we back into the car and we went for a drive by the cliffs of Moher and into Lahinch and to Milltown, Malby and Quilty and back through Milltown again. It was brilliant. Absolutely gorgeous. So I do hope that people just get out and about this week and this weekend and use and avail of the initiatives and indeed the low cost, of course, with them as well. Now, we didn't get to County Galway. We didn't even get near the County Galway. That's where Alton Conlon comes from. Alton joined us on the programme over a year ago to talk about his music, which we love, and to talk about just life in general and gigging and all sorts of things. And he's flying it at the minute and has a brand new single called The Old Songs. And Eddie Reader, Eddie and himself have been doing a bit of work together. I know it from Twitter. And they've been gigging together and they've been recording now as well. And this particular song is called The Old Songs. And Alton sent it to me the other evening and I said, I'll give it a spin on Wednesday. So sit back and enjoy it now, won't you?
Who's going to sing the old songs? Who's going to sing the old songs? Who's going to dance the old steps? And who's going to sing along? That's Big Mike in the corner, after 12 pints of stout, with a falsetto tone built like a brick house. Yet I fall to my knees when he sings Raglan Road, and my heart is transposed from its breaking. We sing Ave Maria, you are my sunshine, the mountains of Moher to the Wichita line man. Forget all your worries, we haven't a care. Sing along in the starlight tonight. Test please, enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. There's a bun in her hair in a room plied with drink. Yet she takes me away as she sings it with joy, and my mind is transposed from its aching. Who's gonna sing the old songs? Who's gonna sing the old songs? Who's gonna dance the old steps? And who's gonna la-di-da? Who's gonna sing the old songs? Who's gonna sing the old songs? Who's gonna do the old rites when all the old timers are gone? Then there's Billy from Dublin, he'll take over the night, with a pint in one hand and the other the mic. Yet I stamp up my feet when he sings Dirty Old Town, and my black dog makes his way back home. We sing The Wild Rover, I'll take you home again, Kathleen. To know him is to love him, all I have to do is dream. Forget all your worries, we haven't a care. Sing along in the starlight tonight. There's that gang up the front, they've had more than a few. They scream and they squabble about nothing new. Yet they fill up the space, it sure is a rare place. Sing along in the starlight tonight. Who's gonna sing the old songs? Who's gonna sing the old songs? Who's gonna dance the old steps? And who's gonna la-di-da? Who's gonna sing the old songs? Who's gonna
the old right when all the old timers are gone. We sing Waltzing Matilda in the N17. Can't help falling in love somewhere under the sea. Forget all your worries, we haven't a care. Sing along in the starlight tonight. Born on the bayou, here comes the sun. The Tennessee waltz, girls just wanna have fun. Forget all your worries, we haven't a care. Sing along in the starlight tonight.
Who's gonna sing the old songs? Who's gonna sing the old songs? Who's gonna do the old rhymes
when all the old timers are gone? And who's gonna sing along?
Isn't that nice? Yeah. Thought you'd like it. That is the brand new single from Alton Conlon, who joined us over a year ago on the programme. And it's called The Old Songs. Eddie Reader in there with him as well. Nice one. All right. What am I going to do now? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a very quick break because I'm going to be talking to John Connell from the Cranard Booktown Festival just after that. And then I've got new music for you, and it's a lovely, poignant song as well that will come out of that particular interview with. All right. So let's do that quick commercial break, and don't go anywhere because there's plenty coming up. John Connell will be joining me. Okay. All right. Chat to you in a minute.
Live on air, presented by Ger Sweeney. Talk Radio Europe.
TRE.
Live on air, presented by Ger Sweeney.
Granard is a smashing spot in County Longford, and this weekend the people in Granard will play host to the Booktown Festival. It means that Granard is becoming the first ever booktown in Ireland. Now, John Connell is one of the directors. He's co-director of the Book Festival, the Booktown Festival, and he joins me on Zoom. John, it's lovely to see you and lovely to hear from you. You have a busy weekend ahead. I want to know, firstly, what a booktown is, please.
Hi, Ger. It's great to be on the programme, and hello to all your listeners. So a booktown is essentially usually a rural town that has taken books to its centre, and it's with an impetus to set up bookshops, have book festivals, bring literary tourism. And it all started a couple of years ago. I wrote a book called The Cow Book, and I was on tour with it in Scotland in a place called Wigtown, which is Scotland's national booktown. And it was suggested to me that there wasn't a national booktown in Ireland, that perhaps Longford could be a host to that. And it took me a few years, and I had to meet the right people to make it happen. But this is the result of that conversation. So I suppose, no different to your listeners in Spain, sometimes going overseas, you get new ideas to bring home.
All right. OK. Now, what sets a booktown festival apart from a book festival? Or is there any difference? Is it just about the aims of it and the title of it?
Well, I suppose the difference, Ger, is that the booktown will have events, hopefully, please God, going on throughout the year at different times in the year. So there's always something to be looking forward to. We have the book festival in April, but there'll also be other events coming up. Please God, we're working on that at the moment. So there's always, that's what Wigtown do. That's what Hay and Why do. There's always something to be looking forward to. Mightn't be as big as what we're doing in April, because that's quite a big endeavour, but we'd be doing something throughout the year just to keep people coming to Granard, to get engaged, to spend a few pounds, and to hopefully learn something.
All right. Two questions. Why Longford and why Granard?
Okay. Well, I suppose, Ger, as I said, it was suggested that Longford could be a good place to do it by my publisher and my friends in Wigtown. And when I thought of the idea, I immediately thought of Granard because it's a lovely one-street town, but it's got a nice wide street. The church is up on a hill. It's very picturesque. And It's also accessible from any point in the country because it's bang smack in the Midlands. Mm. And also, I suppose, Ger, we wanted to, you know, Longford and the Midlands have been very good to me. I wanted to try and give something back in terms of creating something that we could be proud of that was our own. And there are other festivals in Longford, of course, and they're great. But this one was something to do for Granard, and we just thought all along that it would be a good place to do it, and I suppose people are really interested in it. And you know, we had the 6-1 news down at the weekend, and that has made a huge difference in terms of people booking tickets, and you know, many of the events are already sold out.
That's fantastic.
So it's working. So a fella said to me once, if you build it they will come, and we've built it and they're coming.
And again, and apologies for not knowing the answer to this question, but is there already a link between Granard and the literary world, or is this just being created?
Well, I suppose there's many writers from Longford, but I suppose in terms of a book town, the link has been made in the last year and a half.
Okay.
We have been guided by Wigtown on this. Their festival director, Adrian Turpin, I met with him last February, and he was giving me advice on setting all this up, and they've really been our big brother in all of this, and kind of told us what to do and the pitfalls, of course, as well, and the benefits. So it's been an international cooperation, really.
All right. Yeah. Before we get into what's going to happen at the weekend, I just want to stay with the organisation of it, if I can. And when you decided that Granard would be a nice spot for it in Longford, it's not just a question of you arriving in town on the back of a white horse and saying, I now bestow the title Booktown upon all of you. What was the process? And there appears to be certain criteria, if I'm not mistaken, as to how this comes about.
Yes. So, well, I suppose, Ger, we firstly talked to the local community. Mm. We talked to the Cathaoirleach, which is the mayor, Turlough Pat McGovern, and Turlough is a board member. We talked to librarian, we talked to local businesses, and we wanted to gauge reaction first and see if people were interested. And there was an interest there. People loved that it was the kind of the first, you know, that it was something new and something different. And I suppose, you know, Granard is like any rural town. Like it has an interest in books, but it wouldn't have been, you know, associated with books as such. So, but people saw the vision, and they saw the long-term goal of what we want to do. And the long-term goal is, as the book towns do, is to help create more business in towns, create footfall, create, hopefully our long-term aim is to create jobs as well, you know. So those would be the criteria, I suppose. And people latched onto it, and people wanted to do it. And, you know, I've been really bowled over by the support of all the various funding bodies and the county council and the libraries. Everyone really has rowed in behind this idea. So it's been... I've been very moved by it, and there's a great buzz in the air at the moment, and I suppose it's nice to have that.
Okay. Is there a bookshop already in Granard?
No, there isn't a bookshop, but we will have a pop-up bookshop for the weekend.
Great.
Yeah.
And I presume with the title of Booktown, at some point your one of your ambitions will be to have at least one bookshop in the town.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah, absolutely, Ger.
All right. The weekend, it starts on Friday for you. So what can one expect if one goes along to Granard?
Well, it's a really busy weekend. We've got writers coming from all over the world, as well as Ireland and Longford too. But Friday kicks off with a local historian, Sean O'Sullivan, talking about the role of Granard in history throughout the ages, which is going to be really interesting. And then we have a writer from Granard originally, but now living in the UK, Sean Cullum, who's wrote about the illegal organ trade. He was actually on RTE this week talking about that. And then we finish with Donal Ryan, which is a sold-out show. Donal from Tipperary, of course, one of the great novelists of our age. But we also have writers, I won't go through them all, but we have writers coming from all over. We have writer, we have Professor Tim Flannery coming from Australia. He's a former Australian of the Year and an international expert on climate change, but also a mammalogist. And he's the first person I've ever met who discovered many new animal species. So he actually discovered animals unknown to science in Papua New Guinea many years ago, but he's dedicated his life to climate change now. We also have accessibility campaigner and fashionista Sinead Burke. People might remember Sinead from her appearance on Tommy Tiernan's show on RT last year or the year before. Sinead is a real mover and shaker, works with Netflix and Chanel and Gucci on accessibility. And that's been really championed by our accessibility officer, James Cawley Jr. We also have something for sports lovers. Mark Tighe is coming to talk about his co-authored book, Champagne Football, about the FAI and the John Delaney controversy. So that'll be really interesting. Tickets are still available for that. We have writers coming from America. Shauna Kinnear, who runs George Clooney's Media Foundation, is interviewing Sally Hayden. Sally Hayden wrote a book, My Fourth Time We Drowned, about the migration crisis, namely people coming from North Africa, Southern Africa into North Africa to get across the Mediterranean. Okay. A very powerful book, and that's going to be a very powerful conversation. But also, Ger, we have music in the evenings. There's free trad sessions happening in the evenings, and we want people to come, enjoy, spend a bit of time and get to know the Midlands. And I suppose I wrote a piece for the Irish Times this week, and I said we'd like to be the Dingle of the Midlands. And Dingle, of course, as people know, there's always something cultural happening in Dingle, whether it's Fungi, I know he's gone, but there's other voices and the various festivals in Dingle. And I always thought if we wanted to do something, we'd try and copy Dingle, because they seem to have the pattern they seem to have it well sorted out. So the Dingle of the Midlands is what we're going for, and I hope that people will have a good time. The tickets are flying out the door. It's something that has taken a lot of work, but I realise now putting on a book festival is a massive logistical affair, and it's about bringing all these people together over the course of a few days. So my logistics skills have improved immensely since we started this, but I'm really excited about it, and I hope people will enjoy it. And as I say, there's writers coming from literally all over the world. So it's something to be celebrated.
How do you attract writers from all over the world for a first time event? Because, you know, it's very easy, I would imagine, for an established festival to ask somebody to appear, to come and talk, or to be spoken to or chatted with or whatever. But, you know, as a first time out, how does it work?
Well, Ger, I suppose I was lucky. My first book, The Cow Book, was a bestseller. So I got to meet a lot of writers. So that has really helped. But also, we told people the story of why we're doing it, and people seemed to latch on to the idea, and they were more than happy to come. And I suppose it's been a bit of luck. We built up a bit of steam. We got one or two big names. We got Donal Ryan. We got Professor Flannery. And then suddenly things started to snowball in a positive way. Mm. And people were suggesting writers to us, which was great. You know you're doing well when you're getting suggested writers. And I suppose it just built from there. It was a lot of preparation. Some people were booked as long ago as last July. So we really have been working on this a long time. And the program took shape over many, many months. So I think if anyone's listening and wanting to start a festival, I think the whole thing is to actually have a good long lead-in time so that you have enough time to make sure that you can get all this locked in. We're very lucky. Our board members also knew lots of people. It's been a lot of connections, a lot of friendships. And I suppose that's what's really made a huge difference for us. And I'm just really amazed myself about some of the people we got. Professor Flannery, I read his books. I lived in Australia for many years. I read his books when I was a student. And we got him because I had been on a radio show on ABC, and I asked a producer who knew who knew Professor Flannery. So it's a small world sometimes in the book world. So, you have to, by hook or by crook, we got them.
That's brilliant. In relation to the rest of the year then, tell me, have you kind of ideas as to what you might like to do in the next 12 months? I'm guessing you do. So will you talk us through one or two of those?
We do. I can't say much about them yet.
Okay.
We're still, they're still being planned, but we're working away on it, and we hope to have something soon.
Okay.
Keep an eye on our social media for news on that.
What about your own writing then? Are you still writing?
I am, Ger. Yeah. I just finished the edit on a book. Well, I think it's the last edit, but there could be another one on my latest book, which is about sheep farming. And I bought some sheep, and it's the story of a season with them. I am writing. I love writing. It's my main job, but I also work for the Irish Independent. I'm a columnist for them. I write a weekly column. So I suppose I'm always engaged in the word, and I really like it, you know. It's my job, and sometimes it's hard, and sometimes it's hard to keep going, but then, you know, you meet someone and they've read your book and they say, you know, it really touched me or whatever, and you say, this is why I do this.
Lovely. All righty. Are you nervous about the weekend?
Oh, yeah.
Because you look very together and laid back there.
No, I of course I am, Ger. Yeah. It's the first time. I'm worried something might go wrong. But we do have a wonderful team of volunteers and a wonderful group of board members. And everyone is rowing in. I actually am having WhatsApp messages this morning from people volunteering to give lifts and all sorts of stuff. So I'll relax on Sunday night when it's finished. I'll be switched on for 3 days, making sure everything goes okay. But I'll be relaxed on Sunday night, and I think it'll be. And I hope that I just hope people have a good time, and I hope we get the crowds. And the tickets are being sold, as I say. There's still a few available for if your listeners are around. It's like putting on a big, massive party and you're just waiting for everyone to arrive. And we all know when you put on a party, the first hour before it happens, you're saying no one's going to come.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
And then they all arrive. So.
Can I introduce a little bit of vulgarity, if you don't mind? And when you were talking about all of the people that are coming from all over the world, this doesn't come cheap. So do you want to give a shout out to those that are helping you?
Yes, I do. We are so thankful to the various funding bodies and private supporters. The County Council have helped us immensely, but also Kiernan Milling is one of our main sponsors, the Arts Office, Tourism Ireland. There are so many groups, and also we had a private donation from Clement Wilson as well, who runs a foundation in Scotland. So we've been really... we've been really lucky. People have saw what we want to do. They've saw the vision, and they've taken it on board and helped us out. And as you say, Ger, it doesn't come cheap. We're very thankful, and it wouldn't be possible without these people. So thank you to them.
Okay. Before we went on air, you were telling me that you're a regular visitor to Spain. Is there a book town in Spain yet?
You know, I'm not sure, Ger. Okay. I know there's ones in South Africa, Australia, the England, Scotland. I'm not sure about Spain. I wouldn't be surprised, but there was one. Spain is such a beautiful place, and with a great literary tradition. Anyway, the novel was invented in Spain. Don Quixote is considered the first modern novel.
Yeah. All right. Your website is Granard Book Town Festival on oneword.ie. So granardbooktownfestival.ie. It kicks off on Friday. John Connell, co-director of the festival, thank you so much for talking to me about it. For those who want tickets, can they buy them through that? If there's anybody listening to us in Ireland?
There's a tab on the website and you can buy your tickets there. And we have a box office as well on the day if you come down. So hopefully people will be able to come down to Longford.
Look forward to it. Listen, I wish you the best with it, and thanks again for talking to me.
Thank you, Jared. Take care.
Beautiful. That is from a lady that we met on the program about a year, maybe a little bit more, over a year ago. It would have been actually, jeepers, 2 years, maybe a year and a half. Anyway, Breed O'Riordan is her name, and that song is called Mughila Mar, and it's been released as a tribute to her sister Noreen, who passed away in March of 2022. And she's joined on that track by Cornamon from Coolay, conducted by Padraig O'Riordan, Mick O'Brien. Kevin Burke is in there Derek O'Sullivan and Philip Begley. And it's absolutely beautiful. Thank you to Breed for sending that on to me. She was in touch with me a couple of months ago and said, look, I'm working on this and I don't want to rush it because it needs to be special because of Noreen. And I said, take your time, girl. And when you have it, send it on to me. And true to her word, she did. And it was lovely to hear from her. So congratulations to you, Breed, on that. And I hope it does really well for you, whatever that might mean to you. All right. Thanks again as well to John Connell for talking to us about the Granard Booktown Festival. I learned a lot. A Booktown. That's massive, isn't it? We must try and find out if there's one of them in Spain. I'll try and connect the two of them. That'd be smashing too. Right, I'm going to do a very quick break. Come back to me just after that. I'll give you some more news and we've got some more music for you as well.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney.
This is TRE.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney.
And we're back. Good to be back with you again. All right. Don't forget contact details. If you want to get in touch, you can email studio@tre.radio or you can send a WhatsApp message to +34 645 996795. Now, a jury has been selected and sworn in for the biggest inquest in the history of the state, which begins hearing evidence next Tuesday. The Stardust Inquest will examine the events in the early hours of Valentine's Day in 1981. When 48 people lost their lives in a fire in the Stardust Ballroom in Artane in North Dublin. The Dublin City Coroner selected 15 jurors and a number of reserve jurors for the inquest, which will begin at 11 a.m. on the 25th of April. Dr. Myra Cullinan said that the inquest will sit on Tuesday to Friday between 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. each day. She said the pen portraits of the 48 victims will open proceedings and that will take about 3 weeks to deliver. And after that, evidence will be heard in this particular case. Dr. Cullinan asked jurors to refrain from researching the facts of the case or discussing it with anybody connected with it. She said that sitting on the juries for these inquests was a very important task for the families involved. Around 50 family members of the 48 people who died in the fire in the Stardust Ballroom in the early hours of the 14th of February in 1981.